Lord, thank you so much that we can be here, whether it is in person or on Zoom. We are all gathered here with the same heart. And I ask that whatever the Lord shares via Kelly, that we have hearts to hear that and receive that and have and see more of you today. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
She's leaving on a jet plane. In how long?
5 hours.
In 5 hours. So this is our final reminder to pray for her flight. And we know the Lord, she's carried on the wings of a dove straight to the heart of Jesus in Holland. So all of our hearts go with her for sure. We're one in Christ. So nothing can separate that. Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, because Myra Cha so preciously opened the class, now I don't have to do the opening prayer. We can just jump right in. This morning, the Lord, you know, he is so alive. I love that about him. I love that he's real. It's awesome. He's real. He's alive. And here's the kicker. He's in us. Praise the Lord. Does it get any better than that? He's real, which would be nice if he was just a dude up there at the right hand of the Father on high. I mean, being real would be good. Being alive still, been a long time from eternity to, yeah, that's great. But that he's real and alive and in us. So why should we be afraid? Amen. He's real. He's alive. He's in us. He's here right now. We're two or more gathered. We're happy that more than one person showed up today because we've got two or more. And now we know he's here in our midst. Amen. So this morning, he shared with my heart the angle he wanted for today, and I'm very happy for that because I was very tired this morning, and I did not have what he had, but because of oneness, we've got his heart for today. So I am going to just mention a few things, and then we're going to talk or hear from a precious evangelist. She's no longer alive, but she died not so very long ago. Her name is Mother Teresa. Yes, we're going to hear from her today. She's the one the Holy Spirit brought to my heart. And but before we get to her, I want to mention a few things. I got this sentence from the Holy Spirit just a few moments ago. And he said, before we can seek for the Lord to save the spirits of other people, we must have our souls saved. Before we're seeking for God to save the spirits of all these people who are not born again, we must first seek that our soul be saved. And why would that make sense? And those of you who have been in 1 Peter, I think that would really resonate. And maybe just all of us. The salvation of our soul is not according to the scriptures. If you want to further look into that, listen to the 1 Peter classes and look into the Psalms. But the salvation of our soul is not in reference to salvation from hell and being born again. It's something that happens to people that already have Jesus in them, people who are already born again. But sometimes our soul can get in the way of witnessing. Now, who agrees with that just right off the cuff? Yes, either Lindsay's doing morning calisthenics or she's all in, and I see two over here. Our soul gets in the way. Yes, I hear, another witness. I want to put all my limbs up. If I was an octopus, all eight of them, just shouting, yes, Lord, save my soul. Our soul gets in the way because it's still doing it instead of the Lord or pushing. Or, you know, our soul is not crucified. But the cross did deal with our soul. Jesus said, deny your soul, pick up your cross, and follow me. And, of course, the salvation of the soul is where the Lord himself is governing and filling and flowing. He's the fullness thereof. And therefore, the soul becomes a vessel of his love, becomes a vessel of his nature. It becomes a vessel, a conduit of the Spirit of the Lamb for others. But when our soul isn't saved, even though our spirit is, because we're born again, but when our spirit's saved because we're born again and our soul is yet to be saved because we're not fully conformed to his image, that's from Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, which Paul shared with the churches who were saved, that Christ still needed to be formed in them, because our souls aren't fully saved, even though our spirit is. We can have attitudes or methods or undercurrents or vibes or those little lovely things that emanate from us in our old nature, not in our personality. God made our personalities, and they're awesome. It's that old nature that we're talking about, that old man, that self, whatever it might could be. And when that infiltrates the process of sharing the life of Christ with others, they get a false witness. Now, who would maybe consider what a false witness might could be? And maybe in your life you have experienced a false witness where someone was saying the name of Jesus and this, that, and the other, but their attitude was not reflecting his nature. You get better results on the witness, on the mission field, on the evangelistic circuit, whatever, sharing Jesus with others in daily life by Christ coming out of you in his nature, instead of us still having an unsaved soul presenting him in our fleshly ways that may be very religious. In our opinion, they may be very spiritual and right. What tree does right come from? The knowledge of good and evil. So there's the help. We might even be one of those helpers, one of those H-E-L-L-P-E-Rs. We're going to help them not go to hell by having H-E-L-L type ways. Still at work in how we're doing it. Now, H-E-L-L or tree of death, tree of the knowledge of good and evil type ways don't have to look like the evil fruit where we're just attacking and mean. We all know what the evildoers look like, right? The helpers can have their little agenda to help us get saved, but they're doing it by the same methods of the flesh that the evildoers. It's off the same tree. But it looks better, doesn't it? It looks good. It looks good. It can even look God, because Satan came clothed as an angel of light. Yes. So we as evangelists need to know our own motives, but greater than knowing our own motives, we need to know who is motivating us. What is motivating us? Is it our uncrucified, undenied, unsaved soul? Or is it Christ in his nature and his government and his ways coming through us, spirit, soul, and body, right from the heart, out the mouth, and the attitudes and all, showing a witness of Jesus? Now, I think Mother Teresa, she had a wonderful witness. Do you know what her favorite response was when people asked her about herself? It is not I, but Christ that liveth in me. I have the documentation of that in this book. It's people who knew her said one of her favorite comments. This is a Catholic nun. She says, you know what? It's not I, but it's Christ who liveth in me. Well, I'll tell you what. When Mother Teresa said, it's not I, but Christ who liveth in me, doggone it, I believe it, because I'm watching her life. I'm watching her, and we'll talk about some of the things, go to the least of the least and be less than them. Esteem them better, and at a cost to herself, show the love of Jesus, not just tell the love of Jesus. Now, how much more would you want to receive Jesus from someone who showed forth his love than someone who just talked about it but showed forth another image? Now, let me say this. There are those who won't receive anything unless it's all perfect Jesus coming at you. Can you see there's fault there too? Because it's our place to find the Lord in one another, even if everything's not pure Jesus, because that's love. Love thinketh upon these things. If there be any virtue, if there be any virtue, think on that. And if there's even a little tiny speck of Jesus in there and your spirit is saved enough to discern the Lamb, then don't step on Jesus because he's just a little baby and there's still a lot of flesh. Maybe he's speaking to you. Maybe your enemy is the knowledge of good and evil trying to stop his mouth because they're not perfect. Find the Lord. When you're on this end, we love and we receive. Because we're born again, we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit. When we're on this end, we want it to be pure. Because we're born again and we have the Holy Spirit. Both sides, we're one with Jesus. Both sides, love rules. Both sides, we receive and we give the life and the witness of the Lamb. And as we do it with a pure heart that's cleansed from other motives and other ways, something beautiful happens. And the Holy Spirit lands on that. And He does what we can't do. He does what we can't do. He shares Jesus. Where the natural man, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, heareth not. You can argue all day with that natural man, your natural man to their natural man, your unsaved soul to their natural man that has not even been born again yet. And you can ramble on, and you can win the debate, but you lost the war because you're trying to convert an unsaved natural man. And the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things that be of God, but the Spirit communicates them from the Spirit to the Spirit. So we must rely on the Holy Spirit and not the flesh, not the power of the soul. You know, Watchman Nee wrote a book called The Latent Power of the Soul. And I'm not even sure fully the content of it, but the title of it stirred something in me by the Lord that said, you know, there's powers that the soul have to move people. There are people who are very persuasive. They're good arguers. They have a strong opinions. They know how to make their point, right? That's the power of the soul. I don't want to be saved by the power of someone's soul. I want to be saved by a witness of the Lamb and the power of the Holy Spirit because I encountered the living God and not someone's strong opinions about the living God. I don't want my day one to be filled with the persuasions of the flesh convincing me to do something. I want to fall in love with Jesus, and I want to do it with a free will. And I want to do it based on who He really is. And if who He really is a slaughtered lamb and that offends me, and someone tries to make Him less than that, then who are they knowing? Paul never compromised who Jesus was just to save souls. He did be a lamb and make Himself low and all things to all men, but that was the spirit of the Lamb in him. He never compromised who Jesus was as a crucified Christ to save men. Because then the witness is no longer true. This is who God is. Whether we like it or not, or they like it or not, or we're comfortable with it or not, or they're comfortable with it or not, who do we seek to please, man or God? I'm sorry you don't like my methods. I'm sorry you don't like Him, and I'm sure I'm off in many ways because my soul isn't saved as it should be. Christ isn't fully formed. But with all my heart and with humility and meekness of wisdom, I seek to give and to bring and to know the crucified God, the Lamb that was slaughtered, and who is the only true God, the only true God. Who did the Father exalt? Who did the Father set at His right hand but Him who made Himself of nothing, even a slave, even a criminal, even a man who was crucified on a tree? Wherefore He has highly exalted. A lamb, not just His son, not just heavenly royalty. He exalted the spirit of the Lamb in a man. Yeah. That's who God promotes. That's who God sent. That's who God puts in us. That's how God's kingdom works. And that's what the Holy Spirit moves on. Now we're talking Godhead stuff here. You can move men. You might move mountains. You might change everything. You're never going to move the Godhead. And you will reap what you sow. For God is not mocked. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap. You can fool everybody else. You can move everyone else. But you ain't going to move God. He's the only one you can't move. He's the only one that matters. And only His fruit remains. So let's get on the Lord's side. Amen? Let's go with the Spirit of Jesus and quit going with our own methods and our uncrucified flesh and our unsaved souls and expect a great big harvest for God. God won't bless it. He's not pleased with it. It didn't come from Him. You're messing with high and holy things, folks. Time to step out of the picture and let God move. Amen? Don't mess around with the Lord. But if you do, you'll be a tool the Lord can use for those who want to let the Lamb lay down and die if they need. You see what I'm saying? And then we, instead of releasing something like this, what do? L-O-V-E. How long does it take for love to act? Not very long. I said, Lord, I need love to hit me faster. I want love to be my first response, my heartbeat, my breath, your love. I don't want to have to go through my soul's reaction because that could hurt somebody. I'm guilty of that. I am. I need the Lord in this way. I'm crying out to God right now. I'm like, Lord, I get confronted with stuff that I don't know your spirit, your mind, your heart within me. And I will struggle. I won't immediately release your mind, your love. Or just stand with you in your spirit, in your nature. Save my soul, Lord, so that I can show forth your image. So even in any situation, you can be seen. And that can be evangelism. There's a thing called situational evangelism. I forget what this, I don't know what it is, somewhere here. Sharing your testimony. Situational evangelism. And I thought, well, everything can be a situation of evangelism. March on the plane is going into an evangelism opportunity. In the airport, with the security people. There's so many. Isaac going to work today. There you go. There's your evangelistic platform. I mean, me going to Kroger's. Who knows what God has there for me? And I'm not trying to drum up evangelism. I'm just wanting to be instant in season and out by having Jesus' spirit in me. When it happens, it just happens, doesn't it? I used to try to hunt it down. Where, God, who am I supposed to take into the kingdom today? And I'd go down to the union at UNT, and I'd sit there in legalistic terror. Because I thought God was making me. I had to get. If I loved him, I'd do it. You know, have you ever felt that? And it was just legalistic pressure on. Anyway, so I'd sit there and I'd look up and I'd, is this the one, Lord, that poor soul is trying to eat their lunch? They have a half hour between classes. And here comes Kelly. She's sweating because of the pressure that I have like literally 10 minutes to take you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom. And if I don't do it, I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to be sick to my stomach that I didn't, you know, I wasn't bold enough, that I was ashamed of the gospel. I couldn't just say it. All of this is just strange mutations of what probably the spirit of just letting Christ live. But now, and I'm not saying I this is correct. I'm just saying, but now, this is where I'm at now. It's like, Lord, if I'm full of your spirit, if my cup's full of new wine, then if someone knocks me at the grocery store, a little bit of new wine's going to spill out on them. Or if something happens that would usually make me retaliate, love will come out instead of me and my flesh. And that's going to be a witness. And that's going to be the things that life brings. Life brings the opportunities, doesn't it? God orders our steps. We don't always have to hunt them down. Now the Spirit stirs in our hearts at times and says, start a women's meeting or share life with these folks. It's my spirit. That's spurred by life. You know, that's God in us, drawing us to let his life flow to others. Well, that is living. That's Christ. Hallelujah for that. But that's different than I have to do this so I fulfill my requirements of evangelism and don't get in trouble with God. And it's not in me, but I have legalistic terror if I don't. See the difference? Once Jesus in you wanting to live, the other's legalism and fear and commandments, right? So we just want to stay with the one who is our life. We want to walk with him. We want to flow by him. We just want to live. It's like Mother Teresa said, he's my life. I'm crucified. It's Christ that liveth in me. And I just grabbed this little book. It's called Mother Teresa. It's quotes from her, and it's called Love. And I just wanted to read a few of them and just share how her approach to evangelism was. Now, can we not all admit that the woman had a fabulous ministry of evangelism? I mean, we all want to pray for Mick Jagger and all the, but the woman affected rock stars, presidents, high leaders of all over the world. To this day, they take counsel from this little nun. Just walk in there. Mm-hmm. And she had no agenda. Just Jesus for the poorest of the poor. You know, no grand scheme for her glorious ministry. She wanted the poor of the poor taken care of, and she was willing to be seen as the least to them. Look how God promoted that. Amen? I want that Jesus living in me. But I just, if I diminish you, I diminish myself. This is one of her quotes. If I diminish you, I diminish myself. And she's looking at her brother or her sister or the poorest of the poor, and she's saying, if I am going to look at you as less than me, then I diminish. I mean, that's just God heart right there. God made us all to be vessels of his Son. Not a one of us is better and not a one of us is worse. And if I think more highly of myself or more lowly of you, I diminish not only your value but my own. There's just something there, isn't there, of looking at people with the eyes of the Father. Someone who will use their strengths on the behalf of others. Someone who will use their strengths on the behalf of others. And that was the woman saying it in regards to people who were lepers and had no one, you know. She said, the person treats others as he or she would be treated. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Didn't Jesus say that? What evangelism that is. It involves openness and large-heartedness. Openness and large. What a wonderful thing to have a large-heartedness. Those who seek to destroy and dehumanize are also victims. Oh, those who seek to destroy and dehumanize are also victims. You mean evangelism could involve loving our enemies? In fact, isn't that exactly the kind of evangelism that Jesus did from the cross? He loved his enemies. He didn't just go to the ones who treat us well or seem to, you know, my best friends are the ones I tend to evangelize because they like me and it's comfortable, you know. I love sharing Jesus over a cup of tea because there's absolutely no conflict there. Well, that is friendship evangelism, and I think it's great. I think the Lord uses it. I do. But we also need to be open to enemy evangelism, because Jesus in us likes that kind of evangelism. He does. He's like a duck in water. That's how he is. He loves to love his enemy, lives to love, dies to love his enemies. He's an enemy love kind of dude. Hallelujah. Well, that's some powerful evangelism there. They're going to go, why? Why are you loving me? What's up? What do you get out of this? There's no reason for you to love me like this. It's how God is. What? Yeah, this is the God I'm trying to tell you about. Oh man, I want him and I want him now. You know, that's a true story of 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 times over. How many people really met the living God by people who allowed themselves to show enemy love without little mixtures and vibes? You know, people pick up on those vibes. You know, you can have all this Jesus enemy love, but then there's this little, man, if they're feeling condemnation for how bad they are, they're going to pick up on the little, aren't they? They'll pick up on that. And then it will cloud over all that pure enemy love coming from your spirit where Christ dwelleth. So just clean up those little dirty rivers of vibes. People feel vibes. They just do. You do. Do you feel vibes? I feel vibes. Yeah, we're human. Get those vibes out. Clean them up. Clean them up by the cross. And then just let enemy love come out. Let that pure witness of Jesus shine out of you. Whoo, you watch those people fall at the feet of Jesus, because they'll know that can't be you. Humans can't do that. Now, you tell me how you did that. Humans can't love like that. His name is Jesus. I used to be just like you. And he loved me when I was yet his enemy. Romans 5. And he said, Holy Spirit, shed abroad that kind of love in my heart. Shed abroad the love that is enemy love, so that when I was yet ungodly, you loved me. When they're yet ungodly, I love them by you. I mean, we're doing a drama right now, and the scene that we've been working on is this girl being just condemned by everybody in her life. And the Lord said to me this morning and yesterday morning, he goes, that girl has to start on the path of enemy love, because without it, the experiment fails. She has to show enemy love. She has to stay the course of the Lamb. She has to get her soul saved, or the experiment dies, because the blood, the nature, the life of Christ can't come out of her to the enemies. They're the ones being saved. But if her soul isn't saved, their spirits can't. You see what I mean? In our experiment, their bodies. But they can't receive that life if it's all clogged up with our souls, hurts, bitternesses, judgments, condemnations, issues. You know, it doesn't just block the life of Jesus to them. It clogs up your wells. Your wells are going to be stuffed full of that stuff. And it's going to affect your relationship with Jesus. So it's not worth it, is it? Just clean out the gutter every day. Clean out the gutter. You don't want it. They don't need it. God don't like it. Why keep it? Well, because I have this issue. I agree. Get rid of it. Just ask the Spirit to clean out your gutters. Clean out my gutters. Do a full sweep. And let the conduit of Christ be clean again, so that I can be my evangelist self I need to be, for his glory, for others to know Jesus. You know, we always think, oh, it's just about me and my relationship. I'm failing God, my failures, and I'm lacking. And yes, it's true. It does affect us, you know. But what about all those people Jesus wants to reach out through you to touch? And those clogged up gutters, you can't even get his hand out there. Do it for others. Do it for God's heart for others. Do it for his desire to live through you, the Father's desire for more of his Son. Let those gutters be clean. Amen? Why not? It's not even healthy spiritually to keep all that in there. The cross is powerful, and it can remove that. It can. The Spirit comes. It's this little plumber, this little dude. He doesn't have to be special, doesn't have to be seen. He just comes in there, and he unclogs the wells, unclogs the gutters, because he loves Jesus so much in his body. He's like, let's get that area going again. Let's get Jesus flowing again. And all that evangelism will just come by life. Won't that be just easy? It's so easy when it's Jesus. It's so hard when it's us. That's why people hate witnessing, because when it's not Jesus, it's terrifying. You know, but when it's, because it requires life, doesn't it? It's one of those things that requires life. You just can't go out and do it. You gotta let the light shine. It's letting a light shine kind of thing. And we're not light, we're just vessels. We're broken vessels, like the name Gideon and the story about Gideon. When we break, the light comes out. So we don't even have to be doing perfect. We can be broken and fragile and messed up, but we just don't let that get in the way of the light. In fact, we let it open ways for more light to shine. And we don't let the corruption and the situations of the brokenness contaminate that light, because it can. We're not talking about that kind of brokenness. We're not talking about the brokenness of contaminated flesh that will defile the light. We're talking about a broken and contrite spirit that God will not despise, that's lowly in his ways, open to him, because flesh has been dealt with. Hallelujah. It's a clean brokenness, but it's not virtue on our part. It's us removing ourselves from getting in the way so the light can shine purely and undefiled by our flesh. Hallelujah. Let's read a little more from Mother T. Mother T. All right. It was Mother's Day yesterday. We hear from Mama Teresa today. Here's the sentence. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me was one of her favorite responses to any queries about this individual called Mother Teresa. To overcome the first problem, she wanted to have a place. We all know the Sisters of Mercy, the Mothers of Mercy, and their ministry to the poorest of the poor in Calcutta and around the world. But before that started, she had nothing, right? Nothing, just her vision. So she had problems. To overcome the first problem, she begged medicines from the city's pharmacists. They usually obliged. There was a place. At first she needed to beg. At first the need to beg appalled her, but it was yet another humiliation that had to be absorbed and overcome if she was to continue her work. Not everybody was prepared to give. Many abused her for acting irresponsibly and bringing the church into disrepute, but she persevered. She went on what she called begging expeditions to collect medicine, food, clothing. She wrote begging letters to businesses, institutions, and rich, explaining their need for finance. And yet, behind this indefatigable appearance and dedication was a woman who occasionally doubted her abilities. Oh, at times, this is why I'm supposed to read, forgive me. At times, she was tempted to look back at the comfort of the Loreto convent, especially when she heard people in the church questioning the value of her work among the poor. In the greater scheme of things, their arguments went, what worth to society were the poor? Surely the poorest of the poor and the lowest of the low can have the love and devotion of a few. They call me the slum sister. Indeed, she was weighing everything she did against the yardstick of those she sought to help. Yet even here, the enormity of what she faced would claw at her heart. Not only was she teaching, administering to the sick, devoting hours to begging, but she was searching for a place that could accommodate the sisters and their ministry. The search meant trudging the streets. It became too much to bear at times, she felt, the poverty of the poor. But instead of looking at herself, she said, the poverty of the poor must be so hard for them. She writes, after a frustrating and tiring day, when I went around looking for a home, I walked and walked till my legs and arms ached. Then I thought how they must also ache in body and soul, looking for a home, for food, for help. I wonder how long even when she found accommodations and there's reason for optimism, the sheer aloneness of her efforts overwhelmed her. Today, my God, what tortures of loneliness, she recorded in her diary. I wonder how long my heart will suffer this. Tears rolled and rolled. Everyone sees my weakness. My God gave me courage now to fight self and the tempter. Let me not draw back from the sacrifice I have made of my free choice and conviction. Let me not draw back from the sacrifice I have made of my own free choice and conviction. See, this woman, something in her own heart, made a decision between her and God, the living God. And because of that, she was willing to do whatever it took by his Spirit to show his life, to bring his life, to give his life, to reach forth his life to others. Well, that's what Jesus is like inside of us. We get tired. Our soul gets overwhelmed. Our body gets fatigued. But those three that slept when Jesus was in the garden, but our soul and our bodies work together, and that fatigue causes us to not be Jesus to people. To not be there for the Lord, to not be there for others. And man, there's this moment of temptation that comes to all of those who are in the Lord's field. And it's a sacred and it's a holy place where you're so tired and your soul is so pressed out of measure. You just like, I can't do this. Right now I need to stop. I need to take a nap. I can't give another drop of Jesus to the soul. I'm done. And then your spirit, where Christ lives, pumps up and just fuels you for another round of life. And let me tell you, lads, that's that second mile that reaches the Lord's heart. Because now you're doing it not just by his strength, but there's a sacrifice involved. The lamb's been ignited in you. Not you. Something in your heart and free will lit the lamb up. And I'll tell you, I'm not talking about you going another strength by adrenaline. This is when the lamb pumps up in you, and all of a sudden you're carried by the life of another, the love of another, the spirit of another. But you have to choose in that moment. Temptation. Soul's tempted. Hey, I don't got no more. That's right, you don't got another ounce. But guess who's in your spirit? Jesus. You know what it's going to cost you? Denying your soul. Picking up your cross. And letting Jesus live this extra mile. Oh, but the people that are touched in that extra mile. The Lord is touched in the extra mile. He sees his son. Few are willing to give the extra mile. There's too many reasons why we shouldn't. We know. It's not right. It's not fair. It's not healthy. It's not normal. It's not human. I've done my duty. I signed up for an hour. I gave an hour. Well, who will require more? No one. But Jesus in you. He'll want to live and give and go. How does he grow? Let this mind be in you. See, these are the things that made me very unpopular. That's why, Ben, you know. This is exactly why we don't want me around. Yeah. Let. That's a heart love word. No one would make you do that. No one should make you do that. If they do, it's not Jesus. I've done it, and I repent before God when I do, because it's not Christ's spirit. The sacred things of love come from the heart, freely. But I do believe there's a place to say it, so that we know there's enough people saying, "Don't, my sweet darling, for the love of humanity, protect yourself from the cross." What kind of God would ask you to go an extra mile and lay your life down? Are you talking about a crucified God? What kind of God is that? A crucified God? I don't believe in a crucified God. I believe in a holy God, a clean and whole God, not a broken and poured out God. That's not right. What kind of logic is that? It's not the logic I think of, I, nor this world. You're telling me the whole world's wrong? Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Are you going to be popular? No. Sharing this is not popular. Being this to others is wildly popular. Wildly popular. It's Jesus. Everybody loves that Jesus. They do. They just don't love letting him live in them, you know, if they're not ready for that. And that's okay, because he can wait. It's a process. It's a process. Even our hearts are a process of turning and softening. And God does that. He's not putting pressure on us, but he's not lowering the bar to make us God. He's still going to keep his son the measurement, because he put that son inside of us. Amen? I can't lower the bar in my life. Even though I do sometimes, he forgives me. But then I want to go right back and be with him. Okay, I'm going to read just a few little quotes from Mama T. Okay. It is in giving that we receive. Radical. Just radical. We do not need guns and bombs to bring peace. We need love and compassion. Love begins at home, and it is not how much we do, but how much we love, but how much love we put into what we do. We learn humility through accepting humiliation cheerfully. The biggest disease today is not leprosy or tuberculosis or the coronavirus. I added that. But rather the feeling of being unwanted, uncared for, and deserted by everybody. Well, we don't have that, because we have the Lord. But there's people who don't know Jesus. The greatest evil would be our lack of love and charity and indifference to our neighbor in showing forth his love. We're not talking about compassionate ministry overruling the Lord. You know, our mind can take that in strange places, and all of a sudden we're sowing seeds of discord among the brethren. And we're not talking about that. A smile is the beginning of love. Well, there you go. I'm not sure about that one. Do not allow yourself to be disheartened by any failure as long as you've done your best. Right? She did what she could. That's what Jesus said about Mary. Do what you can. What you can do today is more than you could do yesterday, and less what you can do tomorrow. But you do what you can by love. Amen. Well, I would just like to read something, ending my little time with her. Here's a little picture of her right there. Isn't she cute? You can't see it. It's too small. Sorry. We all know what she looks like. But this is a journal that they found that she asked them not to publish before she died, but they did. And it has to do with her own personal contemplation about herself. And I feel like this, with all that she lived by Christ and all that she shined forth through his life in her and all that she sought for others for his glory, this is her own personal feelings, what she was going through behind the scenes. And the question I wrote before I read this was, do I need to feel good to do evangelism? Do I need to feel good to do evangelism? Good question, isn't it? You know, we could say, hey, we're going to do evangelism in 15 minutes. As soon as this class is over, off we go. Everyone goes, I'm not in a place of evangelism. I'm out of whack. I don't feel good. Well, it's not us that we're taking out there, amen? It's the Lord. If I ever become, she said, a saint, we know that she is, but this is her words, I will surely be one of darkness. I will continually be absent. To light the light of those in darkness on earth is my mission. To take, taken as a kind of mission statement, those words of Mother Teresa provide a key to understanding her spiritual life. Here's her letter. Now, Father, that's what they would call a priest in the Catholic Church. Since 49 or 50, this terrible sense of loss, this untold darkness, this loneliness, this continual longing for God, which gives me that deep pain down in my heart. Darkness is such that I really do not see, neither with my mind nor my reason. The place of God in my soul is blank. In my feelings, I feel like there is no God in me. When the pain of longing is so great, I just long and long for God. And then all I feel is that he does not want me or he is not there. I just hear my own heart crying out, my God, and nothing else comes. The torture and pain I cannot explain. Would you expect Mother Teresa to be saying that? This is what she was feeling when she's out there taking care of the poorest of the poor. Not really psyched up for evangelism, huh? From what place is she giving? Weakness. Yeah, good answer. And from the Lamb down in there. And now let me read a little more here. I was thinking about adding this to our little drama, this at some point, putting this in the play. In the call, Jesus, you said that I would have to suffer much. 10 years, my Jesus, you have done to me according to your will. And Jesus, hear my prayer if this pleases you. If my pain and suffering, my darkness and separation gives you one drop of consolation, my own Jesus, do with me as you wish. As long as you wish, without a single glance at my feelings and pain, I am yours, your own. Imprint on my soul and life your sufferings, the sufferings of your very heart. Don't mind my feelings. Don't mind even my pain. If my sense of separation from you will help bring others to you, and in their love and company you will find joy and pleasure, why, Jesus, I am willing with all my heart to suffer, not only now, but for all eternity, if this is possible. Your happiness is all I want. For the rest, please do not take the trouble, even if you see me faint with pain. All this is my will. I want to satiate your thirst with every single drop of the blood that you put in me. Don't allow me to do you wrong in any way. Take from me the power of hurting you. Heart and soul, I will work for others because they're yours. Each and every one are yours. I beg of you only one thing. Please do not take the trouble to return soon. I'm ready to wait for you for all of eternity. Your little one, Mother Teresa. That's the heart of a missionary. That's the heart of an evangelist. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for those who have been so deeply embedded with your logic, who have so deeply come into oneness with the Lamb, that they can stand for us as an example of your heart beating in human flesh. Human flesh that goes through weakness and pain and sorrow and loneliness and emptiness and darkness and confusion and no answers. But not only chose you, but was mightily used by you in weakness, in emptiness, in lowliness. But what a witness of who you are, that it shined all around the whole world and still shines. But we want more of Jesus, but we want less of us. If our decrease could bring the increase of that spirit to others, oh, what a blessed decrease it would be. What a holy and sanctified and rejoicing decrease it would be if more of that spirit could reach others. no matter what it costs us or how it feels to us. Let us be with you in who you are, how you give yourself and how you think of others and how you pour out to the Father. Let people know the real you, Jesus, through us. We ask it in your name, for your sake, in love, Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining us today for our class. We'll see you next time, Lord willing.